Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Before starting the workshop, I would like to just make a little announcement. Some of you who have come to the Kirtan course might ask yourself the question, when are we going to learn to play the instruments? I wanted to say that starting with next week, there will be ample opportunity, I mean a lot of opportunity to learn the instruments. We, for that purpose, have kept the number of participants in the Kirtan course relatively small. We had to turn away many people and tell them, please register early for next year, because for that reason we want to spend a lot of time teaching instruments. And when you have just so many people, then you need 50 teachers because each one needs the attention of his teacher until he is proficient with harmonium, the madanga drum and the karatas. It becomes unmanageable to have a big number of participants in a course where you need so much individual instructions, which is needed for the music, to learn the music. It's you can have hundreds in the style of teaching which I do at the moment, that is explain things and build workshops and do practices like singing together or doing japa together. There wouldn't be a problem to have many, many people, but it becomes a problem when you have more than 15 actually, if you don't have unlimited numbers of teachings and teachers the moment you train people in musical instruments. So in answer to the question, when are we going to have the music instructions, it starts really either on Sunday or on Monday in full swing, and then for 2+ months it will be done. The reason why why we open the Kirtan course like this, where we have a teacher like me who is talking about the philosophy, is that if you want to just sing, it's very easy. You just open your mouth and pump some air over the pipes here over the vocal cords and sing. But if you want to do Kirtan, that is sacred music where you glorify the Lord, you need to have a little spiritual background in order to make it appropriate and make proper kirtan. So I'm here trying to put some foundations into your understanding so that you can do connected kirtan and not just singing with the wind, so to say. Fine. So, but today we will have a lot of practice. Actually, I hope you all brought your bead bags with you, your japa mala. Yeah, it is here. Fine. How are you doing? Is it too hot or is it all right?
It's a little.
Yeah, it's unusual for Radha Desh, I must say. But it's still, in comparison to India, that's always what I tell me. In India, it's now so hot that if you can't go barefoot on the streets. If you would do it, your feet would be grilled. Really, they would have blisters, brandblasen. So I say this to me when my mind says, oh. Yesterday I did a phone call in to some nice people in New York, and I explained, we are all swimming in our sweat here. Good. This morning we heard something very important, that if you want to move onwards in your spiritual life, you need to lift the anchor. And I saw many of you going before the altar praying because I could see some of you were really responding to the lecture. I wanted to ask you now, those who were there, what is the anchor in spiritual life? Ahamamedi. What does this mean?
Compound of three words. Aham, I, mama, mine, and iti, so.
Yeah. It is so. I am this, and this is mine. It is so. That is a material identification. In our Western civilization, we just say false ego. To make it more pronounced, what is the false ego? It is an identification with one's personality and one's so-called possessions. These possessions can be physical possessions, but they can also be more subtle possessions, like opinions, attitudes, views, perspectives, etc. Ahamamedi is the constructed world of the ego. When you want to build something at a place which is already full, you will not really be able to build something very high and very, very substantial. You really have to deconstruct first, and then the construction can take place. In our Krishna consciousness, my spiritual master would always say, you are not the body. It would come in almost every second lecture. He would take about 5 minutes to train us in this. It was very important for him to lay the foundation. So, good. To worship a spiritual being, you yourself have to be spiritual. You know, if you want to enter the fire, you have to become a spark or a flame. So if you want to enter the spiritual dimension, the sacred dimension, the spiritual reality, you need to spiritualize yourself. Without this work, all your japa and all your sacrifices will yield either no or only little result. So in order to purify our existence, our tradition gives a very nice process. It's called Bhuta Shuddhi. Bhuta means the material elements, and Shuddhi means to purify. Bhuta Shuddhi is a practice which detaches us or cleans us from our material identifications. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said we need to cleanse the marrow of the mind. If the mind is dusted or caked with mud, it is like a marrow which is covered, and it doesn't give the real picture of reality. So Bhuta Shuddhi means really a spiritual process whereby which you purify the material identity. There is an interesting work called Hari Bhakti Vilas, which describes to you many details, like the correct pranayamas or breathing exercises, and also it describes a process of Bhuta Shuddhi, which we won't do here, but which gives you a little bit the idea how in ancient times this was done. The meditator was asked, I just found it a few weeks ago, was asked to sit down and then do the The Agni mantra. What you do with this is you make a gesture like this actually. There you clench your thumb, and then you go. No, this is how you start, and then you go like this, and you go. Ram, 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 Ram. Ram being the Bija mantra, the seed mantra of fire. And then you visualize a fire coming out of you and burning your body to ashes. No need to do it. I'm just saying as a way it was done in ancient times, this purification. Then everything of you would burn away. Your even your nice hat, your hair, your organs, the way you look to the world, everything would be gone in that meditation. And then you would meditate about a nectar of immortality. A drop from that ocean would fall on that pile of ashes, and out of the ashes, it's so mythological, would arise your new identity, almost like the Greek analogy or Greek story of the Prometheus out of the ashes. I think some of us have read when we were young these. At least that's how in my family I grew up with the Greek mythology. My parents were great lovers of culture. And we would arise anew, the new man, the new human embodiment would arise from the debris of the old, from the deconstructed self. Would arise another, more pure, more shining self. That was the idea in this practice. It's a very... I like to sometimes give these traditional practices and show you so that you get an idea. Because everyone knows in spiritual circles, the way I'm now, the way I'm identified now, is really not spiritual. It's a construct of this of material life, really. That's the whole process of initiation. Is there is a sacrificial fire, you offer oblations to it, and at the end, after the sacrifice, you are no longer Richard of Paris, but now you are Ratna Garba Das. You get a new name. You are a new person. And now in this identity you do your service. You follow the initiation into spiritual life always brings with it a new understanding of our personality. There are few of our devotees who have changed their birth name. That is their old name, Richard Clairvoyant, to Ratnagarbha Das, and they have this now in the passport because they feel they should make this change. The old persona is no longer there; the new is now rising and is now acting it. In all mystical traditions, you have this also. You have the phrase, die before you die. Have you heard this? Die before you die and finally live. That is one way of saying. What this means is not a call for suicide. By all means, absolutely not. But die before you die means the ego has to go. Meister Eckhart was asked, how does a person have to be who wants to meet God? And he has answered, he has to be dead. What this means is not that he does anything foolish, but the ego has to go. How does a God have to be who wants to meet God? He has to be dead. I always say there should be less of Sachinanda Swami in my presentations. As little as possible, there should be Sachinanda Swami on the couch. With this, I don't mean that I'm not giving the lecture. I mean, I don't want my false ego to interfere in the delivery of a spiritual subject. Good. In Kirtan also, every Kirtan leader can tell you, they want really to be transparent. They don't want to stay in between them and the singers. And also many people asked about gurus. Gurus don't want to establish a personality cult. Sometimes I know one godbrother of my spiritual master, he said, binding ourselves to the personality is worse than death spiritually. No, gurus want to be, this is the word which we use, transparent medias. That people can, through them, can see through them, and so on. It's very important understanding. So, I want to do now with you a Buddha Shuddhi exercise, which is quite lengthy and long, where we do personal japa chanting at the very end. I wanted to just ask around, how are you? Do you need some physical exercises so that you sweat even more? Andrew is sure he doesn't need it. Should we take Andrew as the representative? No need, isn't it? We are awake. You're already getting ready to relax, I see. No, one thing is, why don't we do something very, very gentle, where there is no sweat coming? Is it just something to really, really gentle, not the Kshatriya exercises or the exercises for wrestlers or something. Let me see what is there. That was good. Oh, there's many things. We do something where we let the prana, where we get some prana. Okay? James, how does that sound? Good.
Wonderful.
What you can do is, you can, even for this exercise, you can definitely sit, remain seated. Do you know? You all know a little bit. Prana is the energy within the body, which, when they circulate nicely, take care of a fresh circulation. The prana flow informs circulation. It informs the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. The prana flow takes care that the organs work nicely, your digestion works nicely, and when it informs the circulation, your brain will be good. Therefore, many people who meditate do some pranayama. We will do a very simple pranayama. I request you to first watch what I'm doing. You do like this, and on an inhale you move the hands up and spread the fingers. Then on an exhale you bring yourself in this position. It's a really simple Bhastrika pranayama. If you know a little bit about breathing, it's not important that you know, but if you know, try to breathe from the diaphragm, it's called. In Deutsch, Zwerchfell. So this is a very gentle. For this, I recommend you to sit straight, because if you sit like this or like that, it will not be so good for your system. The pranas need to circulate in a straight body. All right, we are ready? In the beginning we do it quite gently. We will do three circulations, three circles of 10. Do deep breaths, especially when you come down, do deep exhales. Three. Five. This is the last, and when you bring it down, men, please put the left hand on the underneath the navel, just under the navel, and the right over it. And ladies, please put your right hand right under the navel and the left hand over the right hand, and breathe normally. And just notice what has happened in your body since you did this exercise. Just feel into your body. Thank you. Please bring the hands again into the position which you know. You may look at me. And again we do 10 like this. We try to this time bring a little bit more strength to it. That means when we come down, we can imagine we pull ourselves up. You can increase the traction by going a little bit more back. Imagine a friend of yours pulls your both arms a little bit more back. Then you will have the muscles of the shoulder work more with you. Don't exaggerate. You've done 7 now. 8. Deep breath. And very good. Again, please put your hand in the resting position. Men will place the left palm under the navel, in the area under the navel, and ladies will place their right palm. And then put the other hand above the hand which is there under the navel, and just silently feel into your body. Try to go with your consciousness through the body. We will try to create an energy body. Maybe you are a little bit more aware, maybe you feel a little bit more lighter. It's a soft yet very effective exercise. And we do the last circle, this time we will do 15, I will count for you. Please put your hands into the starting position. And on an inhale, go up. If you want to have maximum benefit, please do light breathing, not breathing like a bull in a tank, but we'll do 5 more. Thank you. Please now put your hand back into the resting position. And we will start our Buddha Shruti practice now. Please sit tall. Yes, this is a good sign. Your system starts to get awakened. Maybe before we start, we should have our bead bag just nearby so that we don't need to move. Just have it maybe just within reaching distance. When you are ready, please sit tall. Look around for a moment, because I will soon ask you to close your eyes. It helps to look around and you feel perfectly safe in the environment. And when you are ready, please close the eyes. Sit tall, without a big effort, but just we want the spine to be straight. And for a moment, just focus on the sounds which you presently hear. Maybe a soft sound of a flute music which we have put on for you. Sounds within the room. Maybe you can hear the birds chirping outside the room. Our goal is to become incredibly conscious and aware. Now start to focus on your breath. Become aware of your incoming breath and be aware of your outgoing breath. Please just observe the flow of your breath as it comes naturally. This exercise, we will not manipulate our breath by making it longer or shorter or putting breath pauses. We just watch our breath. Please be conscious of your breath, because by this practice your mind will calm down and this will prepare you for the next steps which we are going to do. We are still not really meditating. We are just preparing our system to calm down. And we prepare our attention to become focused. I will take you to some deep states of meditation in a second, but this is only to prepare your body and your mind. In the meditation, we will take a sacred bath. So, to give us an understanding, I request you to gently look now to the pictures of the sacred river which we have produced on the screen for you. Stay in the space in which you are, means conscious-wise. This is the sacred river Jamuna in Vrindavan. A boatman, boatman, is moving a boat across. A few people take their sacred bath in it. They do their worship on the banks of the river. They bow down, they offer flowers. Whatever their faith tells them, as a practice to connect, they do. There are sand dunes. In some of the places you can see people sleep during the night, where the sadhus live. Many people have had breakthrough experiences by bathing and worshipping in sacred rivers. They have never come empty-handed. They brought a little offering of flowers and light, and they have never gone empty-handed. They took more faith, more insights with them. Here are some lotus flowers. Oh Krishna, so beautiful. And this is a nectar bee. There's a prayer. Let me become like a nectar searching bee who drinks the honey of your lotus feet. You have people who worship with plates. The Yamuna or any sacred river can bring us to another dimension. Please turn now towards me again. And again close your eyes. And again focus your attention on your breathing. This time I request you to widen your breath. You can easily lengthen your breath by just exhaling a little bit more. When you exhale more, you will develop a hunger for oxygen and your breathing will become very deep. Thank you. now bring your attention to your heart space. Imagine when you inhale that you breathe into your heart. The breath energy or the awareness of the ingoing breath reaches down to your heart. And it is here from where you pray the Buddha Shuddhi prayer. I will read this for you, but follow with your attention the prayer as if it is you who is praying this prayer. I am by nature an eternal servant of Krishna. But by my misfortune, due to having turned away from him, I have been identifying myself with the body and the mind. And I have been continuously wandering in the cycle of birth and death in this material world. I have given up one life and taken to a new life. And I have suffered the miseries of material existence. Now, however, I have come to a turning point. As a result of some unimaginable good fortune, I know that I am an eternal part of God, an eternal servant of Krishna. But I am an infinitesimal small spiritual being. I am completely apart from the gross and subtle body. My body is a vehicle, but I am not the vehicle. For certain people, I mean something. They address me by a name. They have certain expectations and certain capabilities. But I am completely apart from all that. Now, as a pure soul, I move forward. I move forward on my spiritual path. Where I worship the Lord. Please mentally now go to the banks of the holy Yamuna River. Enter the Yamuna slowly and respectfully. Take your two hands and take a little water in the hands which you pour as an offering into the moving river. And pray, O River Yamuna, you are the blissful spiritual waters that give love to the son of Nanda Maharaj, love to Krishna. You are the same as the water of the spiritual world. You can vanquish all our anattas and offenses, and you can take away the karmic reactions which we have created in this life. Oh, River Yamuna, you are the creator of all auspicious things. O daughter of the Sun God, kindly purify us by your pious activities. Now slowly move further into the river. And dip into the river 3 times. You take your first dip. When you come out, your body is no longer there, and you are relieved. You take your second dip. When you come up, all the thoughts, maybe some of your worries, all this you see floating down, being carried away by the Yamuna. Now you take a third dip. When you come up, your ego is gone. You are now a pure soul, full of happiness and bliss, full of knowledge and eternal. It is in this pure identity that you can best interact with the Supreme Lord. It is in this pure identity where you can best chant. That's a very nice prayer. When will I wander, crying tears of loving ecstasies under the shade of various trees and creepers on the banks of the holy river? When will I sing, O Radha, O Krishna, forgetting all physical comforts? I will take my meals by begging from the homes of the people who live at the holy place. And I will comfortably drink the holy water. Moved by feelings of spiritual humility and happiness, I will chant again and again Krishna's holy names. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Please stay in this spiritual place in which you are now. Take your japa mala, please, in your hand. I request you to now chant in your own velocity, your own speed, on your own. We will chant two rounds together. And whenever it helps, please do the river chanting. You remember what we did yesterday, where you focus your attention on the name, first name, Hari, and afterwards enter even more into the mantra by being with each one of the names until you are floating in a wonderful stream of holy names. Please let us start now. We will chant one prayer together. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur. Please start now. So, yeah, congratulations. Really, it was a very different atmosphere from what it was when we first started. Maybe it is not so easy for you to see the difference, but when you sit before a group of people and you take in their chanting, you definitely are aware of where they are. And I can really see a change takes place in each one of your chanting. You must know that these changes which take place, or this gradual transformation, is something which is very mysterious. Mysterious in the sense that we cannot really describe so much what is happening. Asked a caterpillar who's in the process of becoming a butterfly what is exactly happening chemically, hormone-wise, growth-wise, and he will be scratching his head and say, I can't express it, but I feel different. In a scientific investigation of what happens during transformation, they have difficulty to really describe what it is. They say emotion regulations, a change of attitudes towards life will happen, etc. But it remains a little bit vague, actually, because the transformation is first of all something very individual. It happens different lead to Gaurahari than it happens to Munishwarahari, because they are different people. That's one thing. And also, how can you measure the spiritual energy? This is what thermometer or barometer will you bring? It is not so easy. Just like for our eyes, it is difficult to see the thoughts. I mean, we understand we are thinking, but we don't see the thoughts for us. So in the same way for the material mind, it is very impossible to see spirit or the movements of spirit. But nevertheless, Transformation is a transformation. Good. I want to now make a little pause of 10 minutes. Our Nityananda Prabhu will again be our trusted timekeeper. 10 minutes. You can take care of yourself. Walk a little bit. Maybe you want to walk barefoot in the shade. That's very good. It energizes you. See you back in 10 minutes. It will be easy. What we will do in the remainder of the workshop is, what is it here? Oh, something very nice. Question and answers, discussions, something. You have done your main work now. Gaura Govinda.
One quick question.
Yes.
I know we're meeting at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Will there be opportunity to do a video recording as we